It's a few minutes past 9 in the morning. Immediately after the close of our last episode, as August Jansen and Albert Dallow, dressed in white coveralls and posing as repairmen, enter the residence of newspaper editor Arch Kerner. More of Gus in a few moments. First...
Officer Perry Mason. Oh, yes, Mr. Bonadies. Yes, I'll be certain to give Mr. Mason the district attorney's message. You really didn't have to remind me. Well, how flattering, Mr. Bonadies. You have a nice voice, too. No, I'm sorry. I have an engagement tomorrow night. Yes, you do that. Officer Perry Mason. Mrs. Barkley, are you still in my apartment? Mrs. Barkley, all the local papers and the wire services are carrying the story of your death. It'll wreck everything if you... Please, Mrs. Barkley. Yes, all right, I'll tell him, but hang up the phone right now. Oh, honestly. Oh, hi, Chief.
Well, hello, Della. Well, we called off the meeting. It seemed that... What's the matter? You look as if you'd seen a ghost.
I've just been talking to one. Mrs. Barkley just phoned from my apartment. And Mr. Apt was here. And Jake Jacobson phoned. Oh, and Mr. Bunny.
Wait a minute, Della. Is Mrs. Barkley all right?
Yes, but she wasn't...
All right, let's take them one at a time now. The DA was here?
Mr. Apt is uncomfortable.
Hmm.
He's sitting on the fence. If the fake accident makes Suzanne Barkley come out of hiding, and if her information is what you need to break the syndicate...
It is.
And if you do break the syndicate, there'll be lots and lots of favorable publicity, and Mr. Apt wants to share the glory.
Yeah.
But if things go wrong, there'll be lots of bad publicity, and Mr. Apt wants no part of that.
Mm.
His assistant just phoned to remind me that Mr. Apt would like to talk to you.
All right, all right. What did Jacobson want?
To talk to you. Jake did a good job publicizing the accident, Chief. I think he'd like you to pat him on the back.
Uh-huh. Now, what does Mrs. Barkley want?
To talk to you.
Did she say why?
I didn't give her time. She promised not to use the phone, so it must be important.
All right, we'll go see her.
After you speak to Mr. Apt.
I'm not going to waste time with him, Della.
Chief, he's the district attorney.
All right, so he's the district attorney. I'll speak to him later.
Jake?
Later. I want to speak to Mrs. Barkley now.
Meanwhile, many blocks away, Mr. Kerner's housekeeper leads the repairmen to Mr. Kerner's study.
Now, listen, you boys be sure your feet are clean. I just waxed this hallway, you know.
Your feet clean, Albert?
Uh-huh.
I don't know why Mr. Kerner didn't say anything about calling the repairman.
Say his typewriter's on the fridge?
Yeah, it's here in his study.
You expect him back soon, you say?
Oh, yeah. He won't stay at the dentist any longer than he has to. Mr. Kerner hates to go to the dentist. Well, go on in, boys. There's his electric typewriter.
Oh, miss, will your boss come in the front door or...
What?
Will you tell him we're here when he returns or...
Well, I don't know. He always lets himself in and he always spends his mornings in here before he goes to the newspaper, so he'll probably just come straight to the study. Why?
Oh, I just wanted to know where to send the bill for our services.
Well, you can ask him.
Yeah, I'll do that.
There's the laundry man. I guess you don't need me.
Oh, we'll get along, thanks.
Okay, say, if you boys smoke, be sure to use the ashtray, huh?
Yeah, sure thing.
Look here, Mr. Jansen. You can see the front door out this window. We can watch for him.
And when he comes, look at this, Albert.
Soundproof, huh, Mr. Jansen?
Yes, Albert, soundproof. Take the cover off that typewriter and scatter a few tools around in case the housekeeper comes nosing in.
Yes, sir.
And then when Mr. Kerner gets here, we'll go to work.
What about afterwards, Mr. Jansen?
What do you mean?
Well, after we get through talking to Mr. Kerner, we'll have to shut him up or he'll tell the cops.
Uh-huh.
And when the cops find him, won't they smell a rat, Mr. Jansen? I mean, if... They did stage a phony accident to make Susan Barkley come in.
You've been thinking again, haven't you?
Well, I can think a little, Mr. Jansen.
So can I. When we finish talking to Mr. Kerner, he'll notify his office he's going out of town. He will also notify his housekeeper he's going out of town. And he'll go if we ask him. Because when we finish talking to Mr. Kerner, he'll do anything we ask him. You know what I mean, Albert?
Uh-huh. I don't much like what we're gonna do. But you do like it, don't you, Mr. Jensen?
What are you doing, Albert?
I found a wall safe. You care if I open it, Mr. Jensen?
Well, don't use a jimmy on it. Everything's got to look right when we leave.
Oh, I ain't gonna force it. It ain't much of a combination. Yeah, I can feel the tumblers.
You're a funny guy, Albert.
What'd you say, Mr. Jensen?
You talk like a dummy and you act like a dummy. But you're a genius when it comes to machinery.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Jensen. Yeah, there it is.
Now, let's see.
Hey, there's nothing in here but a little book. Well, look at this, Mr. Jensen. It's full of poetry.
What?
Ain't this poetry? Moonlight through my window. Here's another one. Where is my love of my tender youth?
So the tough newspaper editor writes poetry, huh?
Oh, there is something else in here.
That's a reel of plastic tape. What is it, Albert?
I think it's a recording tape, Mr. Jensen.
Why did he lock it in his safe?
There's a tape recorder over here. Want me to play it?
You know how to make it playback?
Oh, you know I do, Mr. Jensen.
Well, go ahead, start it.
Well, you have to give it time to warm up first, like a radio. Yeah, it's funny he made a recording and then stuck it in his safe. I wonder why.
Quit wondering and turn it on.
Okay. It's warmed up now.
Confidential memorandum to Mr. Porterfield.
Porterfield is Kerner's boss. Listen.
Wednesday, April 14th.
You did this yesterday.
Dear Mr. Porterfield, I'm going to send this tape directly to you and not through your secretary, because as you will see, this is a highly confidential matter, dealing as it does with the Barkley affair.
Mr. James,
shut up.
As you know, Jake Jacobson has worked in cooperation with Mr. Perry Mason. I don't need to remind you how circulation jumped when Perry Mason gave Jacobson our scoop on the Cesar case. If you'll remember, sir, you were unhappy when you learned I was cooperating with Mason at that time. As a matter of fact, you called me on the carpet and gave me a good dressing down. Well, not that you weren't justified in calling me on the carpet. At any rate, in view of Mason's past accomplishments, I felt justified in cooperating again when he asked. Now, Mason has been secretly investigating a huge auto theft syndicate. He staged a fake accident in which Mrs. Susan Barkley is supposed to have been killed. Now, Mrs. Barkley's daughter, Suzanne Barkley, knows the identity of a key figure in the syndicate, but Suzanne is in hiding. Now, Mason is counting on Suzanne reading of her mother's supposed death. Mason feels that she'll come to her mother's last services. Suzanne will most likely come disguised, but Mason will be waiting on the alert. I'm sending you this memo in explanation of certain expenditures called to your attention by the auditing department. With warmest regards, I remain Arch Kerner.
Okay, Albert, put that back in the safe. Let's get out of here.
We're going?
Well, tell the housekeeper there's nothing wrong with the typewriter. Move, Albert.
But don't you want her to find out?
I found out everything I need to know. Mason will be waiting for Suzanne, will he? Okay, baby, I'll be waiting, too.
Gus Jensen's brain is warped and twisted. He takes reckless chances. But Gus is clever, too. And because he's reckless and clever, he has penetrated the wall of secrecy guarding Suzanne Barkley. By all means, hear tomorrow's exciting development.